Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Goes without saying that you're listening to Goes Without Saying with Seffi and Wing. I'm Seffi and this is Wing.
I'm Wing. I was so sorry, I stepped on your line.
Line. The world's worst theatre production of all time. This episode is about procrastination. So we're talking about the pressures that we feel to be succeeding all the time, whether that's academic or just like fucking life shit. Mm-hmm. Why we always feel like we're kind of falling behind. We talk about school and academic pressure, deadlines, how to beat the kind of, I guess it's just pressure to not be lazy. It's a great episode if you feel a bit stuck, like you're putting loads of pressure on yourself to do loads of shit. So it's all fine. Just do whatever you want and listen to this episode maybe if you want to.
Okay, can we have a bit of a catch up?
Yeah, let's catch up.
I know it's just been a week, but everyone's curious to hear what's new with you.
New with me? There's nothing really new with me. Why don't you start? What's new with you?
Nothing's really new with me either. I don't know, I just thought it might be nice to chat.
Well, one thing that's new that's might be a detriment to the episode is I was eating tacos the other day.
Oh, yeah.
And I bit my tongue and now I have a mouth ulcer and it really hurts, and I've probably only had about, I think, 8 mouth ulcers in my life.
I don't think they're a common occurrence,
so I'm in a lot of pain, but whatever. I know they're just a normal thing that everyone gets, but
I did say let's not record, let's leave it, we can wait until...
But we can't not record for a mouth ulcer.
You don't have an ulcer. But we can't, so
no.
Yeah, she's going to power through it.
I mean, that would be quite dramatic, but it's
fine. If you're in so much pain?
I think I've got a low pain tolerance. I go on and on about these things.
When you're in pain, yeah.
My friend was like, I can't talk to you when you're even mildly ill because you don't stop talking about it.
I can't talk to you when you're like this.
Horrendous. But yeah, that's literally the only thing that's new with me.
Nice.
Anything new in your life? Like, what's a little...
No, honestly, nothing. I'm just happy to be here, honestly. You know what I will say? This is my update. Is that... So this topic I thought would be a really good one because this is me knowing the audience. This is me. I've been on the ground in the DMs. I've been reading what everyone's saying, and everyone is struggling with stress, exams, deadlines, yada yada this, yada yada that. Mm. And I thought, we have never somehow... I literally scrolled through the title and I was like, God, I haven't done a title on procrastination. Perfect. Amazing. I already know what it's going to be. Tell you later. So let's do it. What an interesting convo that we have not had yet. And I feel like especially, I know that loads of people are at school, at uni, but also just in life, it kind of never goes away. Procrastination, right?
No, it doesn't. It
comes up in different ways. Like kind of you can procrastinate. Like I'm currently procrastinating calling the doctors.
What for? This is the thing you should give people.
No. But just in life, like, do you get what I mean? Just little things like, I need to ring this. I need to, my contact lens, I need to switch. Do you know what I mean? Like silly little things.
There's always about 10 things that everyone is putting off at any given moment, I feel.
Which is fucking shit.
It is shit. Yeah, it's boring.
It's really annoying. But it's just like, God, it would be nice to have a completely fresh slate, have everything handled. Do you know what I mean? It's like, God, constantly something.
A personal assistant.
Something ticking away. Even that, though, it's like, that would stress me out more. I'd be like, God, is my personal assistant happy working for me? Probably not. Like, working conditions aren't good enough, blah, blah, blah. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's just more, there's never-ending stress on this earth. Love it, but like, fucking hell. Give me a break.
But also what's kind of quite sad about it is I could get it all done. Give me an hour and a half and I could probably get it all done, but I still won't.
Yeah.
I still won't.
this is the worst bit. Yeah, it's true.
That's the bit that's like particularly tragic, that it's like, I could really handle this if I just had like a good hour.
It's actually embarrassing.
Yeah, it's mortifying. I will spend my time on YouTube instead. Like, I won't do anything.
Oh God, it's sad.
Outrageous.
It is outrageous. It is. Okay, well, it's a good start, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Did you procrastinate much, like, at school and uni? Like, are you an academic procrastinator?
I am an academic.
Well, I was going to say, sounded like I said, are you an academic, by the way? I've been meaning to ask you, you're an academic.
I am, in fact, an academic.
Yeah, you are an academic, of course. Can I actually just say, speaking of being an academic, we have something to ask you guys. Little old you, and I think it's quite good to get it in at the beginning, so everyone,
this is for all the academics out there and all the little bookworms out
there. Yeah, for all the academics in the room. How do you feel about a Patreon book club? Because lots of people ask for a Patreon anyway, which, mixed feelings over here, but I think a book club I think could be fun, and I know lots of people were interested in like books and book chat and blah blah blah. It could be quite cute. What could we do? I was thinking like a Zoom, like a monthly kind of thing.
Monthly,
like,
Zoom.
We all read it together. Just cute vibes. But if...
I think it's so fun.
If it's a no from you, let us know. If it's a yes from you, let us know. Like, I need a general...
A general vibe. How many people would come to a book club if we did it?
Yeah, what's the consensus?
Because also, people have been asking us for probably about six months... pushing to a year potentially about like,
yeah,
please start a Patreon, and we've always been like, no, we don't like the idea of you guys paying for this content in any way.
Mm-hmm.
And Patrons always seem a little bit shit. It's always kind of the content that you wouldn't put up, like the excess content that you wouldn't put up on your Instagram, just thrown up on a Patreon, make people pay for it, which just mm-hmm. does not sit right with us.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea of having like, of giving you this extra content,
thing.
Really specific books, who doesn't love it, learning fiction, we love it.
Well, almost, if you don't love it, then you don't feel bad about missing the content, because if you don't want to pay for it,
and that's absolutely fine.
Yeah,
but I do think that is quite a stunning way. I'd love to have that convo, book convo, with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
What are we reading? We all read the same book every month.
Yeah, it would be fun, right?
Oh, it's dreamy.
What are we reading? Yeah, really cute.
And then we do a Zoom or something like that, discuss it, we both give our thoughts, you guys give your thoughts on the book. Sounds good.
What are your thoughts on that? Please let us know.
Also, like, book ideas would be really good, because we kind of,
yeah,
we don't know what to start it with.
Yeah, we're gonna have to have a long old chat, aren't we?
Yeah, and something neither of us had read before would be really good.
Well, I was thinking, yeah, okay.
I think it would be good. I know it's like, we've read stuff,
we go in blind. Yeah,
it would be good to go in together.
No, I'm also thinking, like, what if we say, oh, let's read this book, and then we read it, it's like, fucking hell, why on earth did we pick this? Do you know what I mean?
But I think that's funny. First month, we're like, we're really sorry about the book. It's shit.
The only thing more shit than a Patreon book club is this book that we chose to read for the first month of our Patreon book club. Okay, well, let us know what you think.
I hope people like that idea, because it gives me shivers
good.
To think about it.
Yeah.
We're all discussing a book together. Wow.
Yeah, I think it's fun. Okay, well, I'm happy we got that out of the way. Right, go on, take it away. Procrastination, you're an academic.
Oh, yes, I'm an academic. And in my studies, I found...
How embarrassing.
That I am quite an academic procrastinator. I definitely was with subjects I didn't like. I was really quite good with subjects that I do like. English, obviously, could do that till the cows come home. History, I was particularly like, I was always revising history.
Yeah.
Like, really focused on the subjects I like, but never, like, if it was maths, my mum would have to like sit me down and be like, you fucking do this now, you little bitch. You need to learn.
I think it's just the, like, it's when you put, it doesn't matter what it is, if you put it in the context of like pressure, basically, like, you have to do this. I remember once we were, because you did film
and English,
and you were like, I've got this film to watch, and I was like, that's so fun, blah 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 blah.
Yeah,
but you were like, yeah, but it immediately makes it not fun when you know you have to do it under a time limit.
Well, and also it was English, and like, doing both of them, it was two films a week and two books a week that I would have to read.
Mm.
It's like, well, that instantly strips the fun out of it, because you're watching the film thinking, I should be reading the book. Like, it's, you're endlessly feeling like you're on the back foot.
Mm. Oh my God. I think that's also because I did a joint honours too, and I feel like, I don't know if it's just the way that was structured, but I definitely had more work than everyone who didn't do a joint honours. Like, of two, oh my God, it was badly set up, to be honest.
Yeah, whenever I'd speak to people that did just English or just film, they'd be like, oh yeah, no, my modules kind of overlap, so some of the readings is the readings from the other module as well. And it's like, yeah, oh my god, yeah. I feel like I'm just doing like,
no, it's like I'm doing multiple dissertations over here. Some people don't even have one, like this is a fucking joke.
It is bizarre. I think maybe it was just structured badly or something, because that is so dumb. Like now when I think of two books, like two novels a week and two films a week, I just think, was that child abuse?
Depends what they are. Also, you were like 19.
I was like 21. I'm calling Childline.
They're like, this girl won't leave us alone. She keeps, this grown woman keeps ringing us.
Because her uni course is too demanding.
Oh my God.
And it was like, watch Twilight. It's like, not even bad.
That's the thing, is it's like, if you didn't have to, if watching Twilight wasn't set as your film to watch, and you had a book to read, you would procrastinate reading the book by watching Twilight. But because you have Twilight to watch, it's like, oh, suddenly I don't want to do anything. Like, fuck this. No.
Yeah. It's unbearable.
We are also quite, we're quite avoiders, I think. We're quite escapees. Escape artists.
Absolutely. Escape artists. Darren Brown over here.
Someone said that they procrastinate when they have anxiety and avoidance is a coping technique. And I think you've hit the nail on the head there.
Do you know what? I kind of got from the DMs and the responses, there are kind of two schools of thought.
Schools of thought. We're an academic.
Yeah, we're an academic. There are two schools of thought here. Theory A is that everyone was saying, or like Camp A was saying, that they use procrastination as like avoidance.
Yeah.
And Camp B was saying that there's like better things on.
Yeah, yeah.
And Camp C was saying they've got ADHD, kind of everyone's got ADHD as well.
So true. So true. Also such a revival of like, not even a revival or a renaissance, but just like a suddenly having the awareness you've got the internet, and also like an ability to look into, I don't know, like pay attention to who you are properly as an individual, when that was never taken seriously as a kid. It's like, oh my god, and now you can diagnose yourself with ADHD. It's like, Jesus, so many, like,
powerful.
Yeah, it's insane. Literally insane. Or I'm actually joking, don't cancel me for that. I'm clinically insane anyway. I'm also cancelled. Someone said, let me find it, somebody said they procrastinate because of a fear of failure or success.
Ooh.
And I thought, so true, because lots of people are saying it's fear, I'm scared to do it and it's not going to go well, which I completely agree. But then it's also like, there are also those moments where you do something and it's like, it hasn't always, you haven't failed all the time, you've done things that have been successful. And I think sometimes, I think initially people think, why would I be scared of success? What? That doesn't even make sense.
Yeah.
But have you ever had something go well and I don't know, maybe it didn't make you feel the way that you thought it would make you feel, or it didn't fix the things that you thought it would fix, and suddenly it's like you had so much riding on this thing being successful, and then it happened and you still felt like shit,
and it was never about the thing.
That's a scary place to be.
It's actually horrendous. You're kind of, the walls start crumbling down and it's like, ah,
yeah,
I thought that was the answer,
everything you've ever known.
It's such a weird feeling.
Yeah,
it's actually quite painful when you think
it is,
because you're driving towards a thing, your whole life tells you you're driving towards a thing, you're driving to this like mystical land of success, whatever that looks like. That could look like fucking job, a fucking like relationship goal, like marriage, or fucking buying a home, or fucking any of the fucking shit.
Fucking
any of the shit that people say is successful.
Yeah.
When you get there and it doesn't feed you and you realize, fuck, I'm still myself. Mm-hmm. I thought I was going to transform into like this new beautiful kind of angel. What the fuck? It is so world shattering, because it's like, oh my god, I've been chasing the wrong thing.
Or kind of, even if it does, even if it's amazing, even if your job really does bring you a lot of happiness and it feeds you in its own way, you suddenly realize like there are three other things that you absolutely hate about your life, or there are other issues. It wasn't just your job, it's also X, Y, and Z, and A, B, and C. It just, I think it's honestly a massive part of human nature to find problems, because you're constantly having to, it's like survival instinct. It's like, I need to fix things. Do you know what I mean?
Adapt.
Yeah.
It's also, people always talk about like the goalpost moving. Once they meet a marker of success, the goalpost moves. And I just think that is so true.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think it's really important to not live your life like you're kind of chasing this like carrot on the end of the stick that's just in front of you, and just chasing, and actually just be like, where am I now? Like, where am I now? Am I happy? Because I do think you're trained just to be like, what's next? And then you get there, what's next?
It's
like, fucking chill. But it's so hard.
It is so hard. Well, everything feeds into that as well. What do you think you're chasing at the moment? What's the carrot on the end of your stick at the moment, if you don't mind sharing? Don't have to, but...
I'm chasing a couple carrots. I've got some carrots on the go, I think.
Okay. Mm, yummy. Carrot salad.
Delicious. Where's the hummus?
Donkey, honestly. You're a donkey on the edge.
I'm chasing a few carrots. Yeah, I think one of the carrots that I'm chasing is, like, I think the Acast, getting the money from Acast, I'm chasing, like, okay, I would love us this to be really sustainable as a job for us, and us to be able to do this and get, like, paid and live, like, quite a nice lifestyle from this.
Mm-hmm.
I would love that. That's one carrot. I think I'm endlessly chasing the carrot of, like, self-acceptance. Mm-hmm. That feels quite out of reach, but that is just an endless carrot.
What does that look like, self-acceptance?
I think it's just, like, being okay to just be, like, the messy person that I am and not be, like, the perfect angel. Like, I would just love to just be okay with just the absolute chaos that I am. That's just, like, the endless fucking carrot.
Yeah.
Carrot number three, in the right in the corner, coming up strong around the back, is...
We go to carrot number three.
Who's gonna win the race? I think carrot three is just, like, enjoy your life.
That's nice.
Which it's just like, actually enjoy your life. Mm. Get that carrot and just be like, oh, it's all nice.
Yeah.
But at the moment, it all just seems quite a lot.
What stops you from getting that carrot and the self-acceptance carrot? What's getting in the way of these carrots?
Pressure. Just pressure from myself, I think, or just pressure from, like, it feels, I think the things that get in the way of feeling like you have a nice life feel like the mundane things of, I've got to call the doctors, oh, I've got to do these things, blah, blah, blah. But actually it's just like relaxing into, it will never feel settled. And can you just enjoy
what you've got,
what it is, and what it is mess. I'm really obsessed with the idea of chaos at the moment of, like,
yeah, it's been a while though.
Have been a while.
Yeah, that you're into it.
Yeah. I think for the last few years, like, I'm really...
It's your life phase, yeah.
Yeah, just chaos. I think it's my personality.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. Yeah, maybe it's just... I really like chaos. It's like, I think that's just who you are.
Because I think I'm always trying to control the chaos. I'm trying to control myself. It's like, no, just be mental. It's fine.
Oh, my God.
What are your carrots / carrot?
Well, now that you've said that, it's so... I think I'm an insane control freak.
Yeah.
With myself. So, like... I think other people would describe me as very laid back. Like, I'm laid back with people and, like, I don't give a shit about, like, I'm not putting pressure on anyone else to be a certain way. No. Just whatever's good for you, whatever. Don't care. But me, on the other hand, I, for some reason.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wouldn't really describe you as laid back.
I'm a different story. No, like, I'm like, it's insane.
Mm.
I'm just a control freak, like, can't let anything go, can't let anyone else handle my shit, like, have to be doing it, do you know what I mean? To my detriment. It's very silly and it's embarrassing. Like, it's fucking embarrassing, actually. It's not cute, it's not funny. It's like, you're a perfectionist and that's embarrassing. Like, pull yourself together, no one fucking cares.
I think this is what's funny. I think especially the term perfectionist is quite, like, because it's got the word perfect in, it's almost quite a desirable thing to be.
Yeah.
But when you actually break down the behaviours of a perfectionist, it is not desirable.
It's ruined my life. Nothing good has come from being a perfectionist at all. It's only stopped me from doing things.
It is horrendous, actually. Because that's also, people were saying, like, I procrastinate things because I'm scared it won't be perfect. Like, it won't live up to my expectations. It's like, yeah, it stops you from living, actually.
Absolutely it does. That's why I think one of the best things that we did starting the podcast was just doing it. And that was why I always kept saying, and I was, like, broken record about this, and I still think it's true. If you want to do anything in life, you have to be, especially if you want to do it publicly, or, like, you want to, well, I guess anything you're going to do, people might see it. You have to be prepared to fail publicly.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be prepared to not be perfect in public. Do you know how hard that is?
Yikes.
That is very hard, guys.
Doesn't sound good, does it?
It's not ideal.
I'd much rather be perfect in public.
Absolutely. But, like, and it's kind of the thing, and I said this months ago, I don't even know when I said this, but it's kind of the thing of Prisoner of Azkaban, where Harry's convinced that his dad is going to come and save him and Gary Oldman from the Dementors.
Gary Oldman. His name is Sirius Black.
Sirius Black.
Goodness me.
But Harry's committed to saying, my dad's coming any minute now. He's coming. He's going to come and save us. But it wasn't his dad. It was him all along. And Hermione's going, no one's coming, Harry. She actually doesn't even say nobody's coming, Harry. Which is quite funny because everyone says...
That's so funny.
Yeah, it's really funny. Everyone says to me, nobody's coming, Harry. And I'm like, shit, she doesn't quite say that.
Do you know what it is? It's Luke, I am your father. It's like, he doesn't say that. It's like the Mandela effect. It's like,
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's exactly that. Yeah. But she basically says no one's coming. he's not coming, Harry, or whatever. Anyway.
She says something completely different.
She says something completely different.
I watched that scene like, here it is, here it is. And I was like, oh, we got it wrong.
Here it is, the famous line. It's like, no, it's not Daniel Radcliffe who says that. It's literally Wing from this random podcast. But anyway.
But still, nobody's coming, Harry.
Nobody's coming, Harry. Like, no one's coming to pick you up and put you in your perfect position of where you want to be. You're going to have to learn, and you're going to have to fuck it up, and you're going to have to like commit to being bad at something. And go for it. It's mm-hmm. really embarrassing. I'm mortified every day of my life. But what's the alternative? I do nothing. I rot in my bed.
Doing that as well.
I waste away. And boy, will I.
Trust us, we're doing that anyway.
Let me tell you, yeah. I'm multitasking.
Yeah, I've got my fingers in a lot of pies over here.
Not every day embarrass yourself and push yourself to be the best version of yourself that you can be. Some days rot in bed.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
I think that's it as well. Bye
for this episode from me. Beep. But that is kind of it, right? That's the gist.
Yeah, it is the gist. Maybe it's even the crux.
It's the crux. Oof. Okay, speaking of rotting in bed.
Our hobby.
Speaking of decomposing slowly. Mm. This person said about procrastination that it's too much to deal... Like, they procrastinate when things are too much to deal with for their current mental state. And lots of people are saying similar things about, like, if you're struggling with X, Y, and Z, why on earth would you want to suddenly be doing whatever? It's like, yeah, to be honest, so true. That resounds.
Resounds heavily.
I just think that is not like, I feel like it's a very isolating experience to feel like you can't keep up with the world.
Such a horrific feeling. I remember saying that to you a few months ago. I just can't keep up. I just can't keep up.
Yeah.
And you were like, but what with? It's like, God, I don't know. My own expectations of myself? Question mark.
Yeah.
It's such a horrific feeling to be like, I feel like I'm essentially letting yourself down.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm supposed to be here and I'm here.
Yeah.
Such a horrendous feeling. And I do think that's so it. When, if you're struggling with like, say, a mental health issue, and then it's like, can you just go to the post office and do that? It's like, fucking leave me alone.
Mm-hmm.
Leave me alone. Like, it's such, anything becomes so overwhelming.
So true.
Oh, can you just go down to the shop and get some milk? No.
Honestly, I'm feeling bad. The last thing you want to do is mention my ASOS parcels that were meant to go back 2 months ago. Let's not talk about it.
Don't even go there.
Yeah, don't even fucking go there. Don't even bring it up.
No.
Don't even bring it up. Don't even look at them.
Honestly, don't bring it up. I don't even have any, and don't bring it up because I'll cry. Like, the thought of having to go to a Collect Plus.
Honestly, will they, won't they relationship with taking your parcels back on time? It's actually mortifying.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But I think it's weird because when you're in that kind of place where you're feeling really overwhelmed, you're kind of operating from this illusion of, it seems like everyone else
is on top of it.
Is like absolutely on top of things, yeah. Which, look, statistically, it just can't be real. That can't be right. The amount of you that come forward and held your hands up and said, look, I'm procrastinating, blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, well, then it's not adding up.
No.
Because from where you sit, you look and see everyone else doing amazing things, but apparently they're all struggling. So what's the truth?
It's the bias against yourself that you think you're the biggest fucking fuck up in the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
The bias against yourself, I think, is the thing that fucks everyone. everyone.
Everyone, yeah.
It's that you think that you are failing, and not only do you think you're failing, you're not in like this big club of, oh yeah, we're all failing. You're completely alone in that club. That's what is the killer.
It is true. You know what sucks as well is when like people will try and make out like you're in the club together, like we're failing together. Look, I'm telling you, when it comes down to it, they will throw you under any fucking bus to try and get two steps ahead, because it's kind of like, have you done the reading? No, I haven't done the reading. Oh, thank God someone else hasn't done the reading. You get in straight away, hand up. What I loved about Wilson's first chapter was when he would speak about blah, blah, blah.
Literally.
What the fuck is going on? No, you're on your own. And that's why nobody's coming.
Do you remember those people at school that would be like, oh, I haven't done any revision, and then would get like an A star? It's like, you're a liar. You're a liar.
I mean, so what would you do?
What would I say, I've done revision or not?
Yeah, like, I don't know though, because I think that can happen sometimes where like...
Well, you're insecure and I get it. Like,
yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
I actually have quite I don't know if it's a... Let me think if it's a good story.
Go on, it's a story. I'll call it a story.
Or does it make me sound arrogant?
Look, it's your truth. I think we want to hear it. I mean, I really want to hear it now.
This is my truth.
Also, I think a lot of your stories make you sound a certain way, and it's just whatever.
This is the truth. This actually did happen.
I don't think anyone's going to think, oh, that can't be true.
It's not even an arrogant vibe. Look, it happened.
What, have you told it before?
No, never told this before. I don't think I've even... I said it to my mum after it happened to me. It was when I was like in like year... I was in sixth form.
Okay.
Oh, it was when everyone was applying to unis. Like, it was that whole time. I went to quite a shit school, I would say. There were a few of us that were like, okay, we're gonna take the big leap, we're gonna apply to Oxford Uni, mm-hmm. we're gonna do it. I was not one of the people that was chosen to apply, so all of the teachers kind of got a few people to pick, like, do you maybe want to apply to Oxford Uni, which you've got Oxford and Cambridge, and you've got to do like an exam.
Yeah, you have to do it earlier.
You've got to do it before everyone else, and you've got to do an exam. I walked into the little office, no one had asked me, and I said, I'm applying. Everyone said, are you sure about that? And I said, I'm applying. Crying. Don't doubt me.
This is Seffi's energy that balms me as well.
I said, no one's invited me.
This is exactly what I'm talking about.
I'm applying, bitch. I know I'm good enough.
I think this podcast is just a slow experience of you realizing, like, shit, I am arrogant. It's like a long process of you being like,
I'm not arrogant.
Wait, hang on. I've got all this evidence that's telling me.
No, here's the thing. I think I've actually lost a lot. I was incredibly, incredibly confident. I've lost a lot of it, but I was incredibly confident, and I still kind of am.
Well, you should absolutely be confident. And
but I think everyone can go to fucking Oxford. It's fucking elitist bullshit. But anyway, I was like, I can go. I walked into that office and said, listen, I'm going. Everyone said, really? No. Before we were going into the exam, I was one of the only people applying for English, but some people were doing like science and things like that. This girl walks up to me who didn't really love. She was like one of the kind of popular gals, but she was like one of the smart, like hard reviser gals.
Nice.
Nothing wrong with that. She came up to me and she was like, so have you been revising like a lot for this? And I was like, no, I haven't done any prep because I'm better than all of you, bitch.
You were like, no, I don't believe in revising. I'm just naturally amazing.
I believe in natural intelligence. Uh-huh. But no, I just said, I don't think I really stand a chance anyway. I'm just giving it a shot sort of thing. Like, I'm just here to see if I get it.
That was a lie. You were lying though, weren't you? You were lying because you were thinking, fuck off.
I just more thought, don't limit me, school. I thought, don't tell me what I can and cannot do.
So true.
I just thought, don't limit me.
I mean, that's very true. And that is very, very true in schools that you don't pay for. You just get dumped in like a low set and they just don't give a shit and blah, 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 blah. Teachers are amazing. Not saying they're not. But I think the structure of kids being dumped into tax-funded schools
is evil.
Very, very limiting.
So I went into the exam. She was a little bitch. She tried to spook me before. That was the thing. She tried to spook me. She was like, she did. She tried to sabotage me. She did.
I actually can't go.
And I thought, you're trying to spook me.
You thought she had a plan.
Because I think she said something. I can't exactly remember the exact wording, but it was outrageous. She said something like,
she was looking down on you.
God, like, I think the people that do this, like, really revise for like months in advance, that you should have maybe done something. Tried to spook me.
Trying to spook me.
Then I was one of the only people that got an interview. Little bitch.
Jesus, Sammy.
Bitch. So that's my thing. I always think that's my experience with people being like, oh, should you revise? Should you not revise? It's almost like, or like talking about how much revision you did before an exam is just something you shouldn't do. I actually think it's a social faux pas to talk about how much revision you've done before an exam.
Right. It's like, don't talk about how much revision you've done at the dinner table.
It's really insane to be walking into an exam and be like, you haven't done enough though. It's like, why did you say that to me?
I think that time period where, this is quite UK based, I think, but probably works for lots of different people, that time period where you are like at the end of your teenage years, I don't want to freak anyone out, but if you're coming to the end of your teenage years and people are starting to talk about university or starting to talk about options after education. And I do think like that, I mean, it's quite a significant, wherever you land, it's quite a significant shift for you. It can really does set, it can really set the tone for whatever comes next for you. And I do feel like it's not even necessarily about a natural ability or like what you've been told or whatever, blah, blah, blah. I think a lot of it comes down to like how much you want to tell people that you deserve better things.
I think that's what's weird though, is whenever you explain to someone that you deserve better things than what they tried to hand you, it comes off socially as an arrogance or like that you think you're better than other people. But it's like, no, I just think I am good enough to do this thing that you've allowed other people to do.
I also had I had a time where I did an access course after sixth form and before university, and I came into it, everyone was like, so hard, access courses are really, really hard, they're this, this and this. I did history and English literature and philosophy and ethics and sociology, and I was like, I came in late, obviously. And not just like 10 minutes late, I came in like 3 weeks late.
Nice. Of course. In character.
Because I've been on holiday, don't want to talk about it. Anyway, and I also was too young. You had to be, at the time, I don't know what it is now, I don't know what the deal is now, but you had to be, I think, over the age of at least 19 or 20, I think. And I was 18. And I convinced them basically to let me do it. And also you had to pay like X amount of money, and I convinced the woman to let me do it free of charge.
Stunning.
Anyway.
A hustler.
Honestly, a hustler. Winging it since day one. Got in there, this girl who really didn't like my vibe, which I get. That's fine. Totally get that there's a lot of my vibe is not likable. It's okay. Even though I'm very sweet and nice.
The vibes were off.
My vibes were off. I get it, because she turns up late and like, look at her, like she's like this kid and like whatever. It's like hot girl from school thinks she's going to waltz in here and stomp all over my access course. Absolutely not. Well, actually I did. And I came in and we were talking about like, I don't know if you had to put down your own, it wouldn't have been predicted grades, but it was kind of like, where do you want to be going? Like, what kind of grades do you want to be looking for? And I said, I'm going to get full marks on this course. I'm not going to miss a mark. I'm going to get 100%.
Wow.
And because I was going to do that. And this girl was like, well, we all want to get 100%, Erin. And I was like, yeah, we all want to, .. But some of us, .. won't be able to, .. Don't limit me just because I look.
How do I get the mark as the arrogant one here?
Because I got 100%. And it came from a thing of like, I came in saying, look, I'm going to get 100% here because I know I am. Because I've just done A-levels and A-levels are rough. A-levels are really, really hard. And also, I've just been homeless and I have made it out with a fucking education and I'm going to go to uni. Like, I'm getting grades for Oxbridge and I'm going to go where I want to go. Like, I am a powerful person. I was quite like, I felt a bit free. Like, I'd been emancipated. Like, I was just liberated. And I knew that I could, my intelligence was like my superpower, because everyone would look at me and think, oh, she's going to be dumb because of the way that I looked. So I knew that my intelligence was like this hidden weapon that I could fling out at the last minute. Yeah, like, haha, I'm smarter than you and your mum and I'm great and blah, blah, blah.
Her mum's like, huh?
I didn't have to say it, but this girl was really fucking rude. She was quite horrible, to be honest. She was quite a mean girl. And I proved her wrong, and she didn't get to go where she wanted to go at the end of the day, because karma comes for people. Because I would actually say in that situation, she was the arrogant one, because she looked at me, thought she knew me, judged me straight off the bat. I didn't come in judging anybody.
No, but this is my point.
I came in 3 weeks late and thought, these guys are going to be my best friends and we're going to have a great time. And it was fucking horrible. It was fine. But I did do amazing.
But this is my point. I don't think it's arrogant to say, I think I'm capable of more than what you think I'm capable of.
Absolutely not. No, it's necessary, especially as a kid. It's like, if you don't have someone it's so true. If you don't have someone backing you or like supporting you or volunteering you,
it has to be you. It has to come from you.
It does have to be you, which to be honest is a lot to ask, because I also think like, don't put pressure on yourself to do that at that age, because I think a lot of it comes with age.
Yeah.
Like it comes with learning.
Oh my God, completely. Because also to advocate for yourself at that age, and also in a room of, I guess at the Access course it was mainly adults, I guess it was all adults, to be the young one walking in and be like, no, I know what marks I'm capable of doing here. And then also in a school where you're basically putting yourself on a pedestal and you look like a bitch. It's like, it does take a lot to do that, because you look like a fucking cunt, but it's like, well, I'm sorry, but I'm not gonna be limited by you.
I also knew that was my last shot. Like I knew that it was a very real like moment for me where it's like, there's a lot riding on this. Like I either have this or I don't. And I really had to fight my way onto that course, and like really, they only let me in because they knew that I would do well. Do you know what I mean? That was the only reason that I was allowed to do it. Just don't, I think like, you can do it. Do you know what I mean? Like I'm fisting everyone for some reason.
She's fisting me right now. She's got a fist.
But I'm stuffing a turkey. It's like, come on. Like,
yeah.
If you might not have a certain grade, you might not have a certain person's belief in you, but you absolutely do have an ability to get what you think you deserve.
Absolutely.
Don't be the reason that you're cut short, because there's going to be a lot of reasons that you're not going to be able to get what you want in life. Life's constantly throwing obstacles and like negativity at you and constantly throwing doubt at you. Don't be another obstacle in the way of what you think you should have in your life. In your one life, by the way.
One.
I think there's only one of these things. Just one teeny tiny short life. It's like, I'm absolutely walking in saying, I'm going to have to get what I want out of this situation. You know why? Because nobody's coming, Harry. It's me or no one.
It's basically walking into a room and being like, by the way, you're not better than me. And everyone's annoyed. Everyone's annoyed. Actually, sorry, get back in your place.
No, but I walked into the room saying, hi, guys. And then she said, you're blah, 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 blah. And I thought, look, I'm not having that. I'm not, that's not what I am. I'm a nice girl. Don't be mean. I don't really like cold people.
Do you not? No, I don't really like cold people.
No. I think I'm quite a warm person. I'm naturally very warm, and I think sometimes I'll cool myself down a bit to kind of seem a bit more normal. But I'm naturally very warm, and I think when people are cold or like hostile, I'm like, Jesus.
No, it's a lot.
Christ,
yeah.
What the fuck is going on? Like, huh? But I take it personal. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that. I definitely don't like kind of rudeness, just like when someone's having a bad day and it's clear that it's like, okay, that's gonna come out on me now. Like when you walk into a shop,
oh my God,
and order a coffee, but then I and they're rude, I was gonna say, but then I also get it, because I think I've been the girl serving the coffee that's fucking rude because I'm getting paid no fucking money and I'm gutted and I'm annoyed and I'm cold and I've been standing up all day and my feet hurt. I've also been the rude girl.
Someone said, I struggled to face work I'm not passionate about, dot, dot, dot. So my entire minimum wage job, laughing face. And I just, again, think that comes into the fact that we've normalized as a society. Let's not get into why it's been normalized that we all have to work shit jobs. But what that does, you know what that does to a person? What is it? Like how many vasectomies, he says, snip snap, but it's like, you know, do you know what that does to a person? Like, and also not just working a job you don't want to work or working a minimum wage job, but also applying for jobs. I think this feeds quite nicely into the uni combo and this sort of thing. I was saying to my friend the other day, because she was applying for jobs, and she was like, God, I'm an idiot, like it's taken me all day to apply for this job. And I was like, no. I was like, I think people have got it wrong that they think like you can whip out like 3 or 4 job applications in a day, like 2 hours and you can do a job application. It's like, no, it's like a day, 2 days, 3 days spent on a job application that you're never going to hear back from.
And that, they'll never message you again.
They won't even say like, thanks for applying, we've gone for someone else, that you just will never hear from them again. It's like, you did this for what?
Yeah.
You did this for what?
And you can just assume that it was never read. It's like, whether it was read or not, I will never know, but I assume that just went somewhere into the void. Gutting.
It is gutting. It does a lot for, I think it's weird that we are at a place socially where we don't acknowledge how detrimental that is for a lot of people's self-esteem, when you've been told like,
that's
from
it,
the minute you enter the education system, you're smart, you're gifted, you're talented, whatever,
or you're not,
throughout,
which is,
you're gonna go to uni.
We're lucky we're on the end of, you're smart, you're gifted, and then we enter the world and we're like, oh, are we smart and gifted? But people that were told you're shit throughout their whole lives, that's the bit that's like, this isn't fucking fair.
But you've been in the education system your whole life, and then you come out and it's like, can someone please, want nobody wants me, huh? Last we picked, like, nobody wants. It's so, so weird that it's like a bit of a taboo to acknowledge how painful it is. Because I think obviously there's a massive taboo and stigma around being unemployed and that whole conversation in general, and a whole class issue there as well, obviously. But it's just really sad that I think it does so much more for someone's self-esteem than they can even have the awareness of, because they're convinced that it
almost
takes...
Almost acknowledge.
Yeah, it takes everyone else 2 hours to do a job application. It takes me days. It's like, no, it takes everyone the same amount of time. You're just applying for a shitty company.
My friend was applying for jobs recently, and she was also moving house, and she was working. And she was saying, oh, I feel really bad about it. Like, you could just see just massively lowering her self-esteem with each rejection or each lack of rejection. It's just fucking so upsetting, each one.
With every cover letter. Don't even get me started on cover letters.
Literally.
What a con.
And each one is asking you to do work for them as well. Like, can you do 4 hours of work for me on this big thing? And then we're going to talk about it in the interview, all of this shit. And I was saying to her, it's like, so people always say, oh, applying for jobs in itself is a full-time job. People also say, oh, moving house is pretty much a full-time job. Like, looking for houses is a full-time job. And you're also doing a full-time job. So you're pretty much doing three full-time jobs.
And you need to call the doctors.
And on top of that, your self-esteem is just being lowered. And you need to send your ASOS parcels back. It's just like,
yeah, exactly. It's like, fucking this. Hell.
But you're procrastinating. Fuck off. Watch some Netflix. Oof. You need to chill out.
You do? Yeah. It's honestly prescribed by Seffy and Wing. Prescribed by the academics. You need to chill.
Prescribed by two self-proclaimed academics.
Self-proclaimed academics. Also, another bone to pick with society, but just in life in general. Going back to you being like, no, I'm doing this fucking test or whatever, and doing well in the test and blah, blah, blah. All of these, all of these things, some of them are big, like getting a degree, for example, or even finishing your A-levels or doing one exam and having six more to go. I feel like we don't normalize enough. I'm going to stop saying the word normalize because I know it's silly. We don't encourage enough people celebrating good things that they've done.
Yeah, no, we don't.
As in, like, you do your A-levels and then you're swept off to uni and it's like, oh, forget that, now you've got some reading to do. It's like, don't be happy about the fact that you've just done all your A-levels. It's like, fucking hell, you're traumatized and you've just done an amazing thing. It's like, can you celebrate that, please? Can we just have a minute?
Do you know what's funny? I think it is celebrated, but there's a time limit on it.
Uh-huh.
That I think you have two periods in your life where people are happy to see you celebrate, and that is one after you finish school, and maybe between you going to uni if you're following a traditional trajectory, or after uni. You've got a year, both of those. You can have a gap year either side of uni, basically. And I think people allow you like a summer. They're like, enjoy your summer, have a great summer. But then as soon as that ends, people get funny.
But I still think, even if, say, you were having a great summer and it was like, oh, she's having a summer. It's like, please, God, just give me one summer, please.
Summer.
But it's like, I'm having a summer.
And it rains that whole summer.
And then you see kind of your aunt and she's like, oh, like, Auntie Jess is here. And she's like, oh, what are you doing? Like, and you're like, oh, I'm taking some time to celebrate my wins. Yeah, you're an arsehole. But like, you're like, oh, I'm having a really good time, to be honest. Like, I'm in no rush to get back to education.
Worked really hard on my A-levels and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I worked really hard and I think I deserve a bit of time to just relax and like be free and just chill out.
Yeah, you're not going to get a good reaction for that.
I think Auntie Jess is not happy to hear that, to be honest.
She's jealous out of her eyeballs. Yeah, she's so jealous.
She's pissed off. Yeah. Which is fair enough, because we're all conditioned to think that life equals work and misery, and life does not equal happiness. Life does not equal liking yourself.
No.
Life does not equal any good thing for yourself. It has to be working for somebody else, making yourself miserable, and then dying. That's what life is about, apparently.
But you might get kind of 2 weeks of like in the sun in like Mallorca a year if you're lucky, or you might get a cinema trip on a Thursday night if you're really lucky, or maybe you get to go to a Christmas party. It's all for those moments that are like their designated fun areas,
fleeting happiness, yeah,
so that you can go back to work. And it's like, it's a really odd mentality. Like, what happens if I want to have fun for the majority of my life? Is that like really unacceptable?
Oh, you're not allowed. Yeah, no one goes without saying. You're not, yeah, it's completely unacceptable. But it's like, if Auntie Jess is saying congratulations on your A-levels, so happy for you, and you say, you know what, thank you, Auntie Jess, I'm really happy for myself as well, because I did really well in those A-levels and I really deserve some time off. All of a sudden, it's not congratulations at all.
Arrogance.
It's commiserations. It's shut the fuck up, you arrogant little bitch.
Outrageous.
Like, how dare you think you deserve it? Don't get too big for your boots now.
That's what's so upsetting.
Do you know what I mean? Let's keep them small. small. Keep the children small. Keep the little girls in their boxes. No.
But I think it's gendered. I really think it's gendered because it's, I do think there's met with the difference of a boy saying, oh, I'm going to enjoy some time, and a girl saying, I'm going to enjoy some time.
Yeah, I do.
I just think there's, if little Billy, after his A-level, says, oh yeah, I'm going to go to Ibiza for a bit, and then I'm going to just like work for like Deliveroo and shit, and just like smoke a load of weed and just like chill out, mate. Chill out, Jess. Get out of the get in my grill, you chill fucking out, weirdo. Mate.
No, it's always, isn't your little Billy so sweet?
Billy's allowed to just get on with his business.
Oh, isn't he amazing? Live your life.
Oh, he's young. He's young. Boys will be boys. But Billy's little cousin, Margaret.
She needs to be thinking about, you know, you're having kids in the next 10 years, Margaret. So don't do anything too crazy.
Poor little Margaret. She's got a, yeah, she's not allowed just to work for delivery. One, because it's not hot for girls to ride a bike.
Did you meet anybody at uni?
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Oh, will you meet a lovely boyfriend there?
Jesus. Pressures.
Yeah, it's just
it's
a joke.
It's too much.
It's a complete joke. So there is definitely a difference there. Basically, the world's quite bleak, but no one really is allowed to have that much fun in their life. And that's where you have this idea of a midlife crisis.
But also allowed to, you're not allowed to like yourself.
No, no.
Because I think the just the notion of feeling like you have something to celebrate, like of your own achievement, is acknowledging that you might not be a piece of shit. And that is not acceptable. Like, it's a weird thing to do socially, to be like, I think I'm actually like, all right. Or like, I think I've done a good job on this. Or like, I think I deserve to chill out.
It's so fucking interesting, isn't it? Because you can even see it on a basic level of someone being like, oh my God, I really like your outfit. You then can choose the socially acceptable or the not socially acceptable version of that. Like, you can be like, oh, thanks. And what would kind of be socially acceptable is to be like, thanks. Oh, like my shoes are a bit like, oh, they're my trousers are a bit baggy, whatever. Like, you can say, or like my trousers don't fit right, blah, blah. Like, you have to like say a bit of a shitty thing about yourself.
Have to be self-deprecating, yeah.
If you were saying, oh, thanks, I actually really like it. Yeah, no, I agree. It's cute, isn't it? It instantly gives a bit of a sour taste in everyone's mouth. It's so odd.
It's kind of the thing of like you feeling like, oh, I deserve a good thing. I deserve a nice thing. People project onto it what they feel like they don't deserve. Do you know what I mean? If you saying, you know what, I deserve tonight to just like order a Wagamama and like watch this thing that I want to watch, someone else is projecting onto it, shit, I've got so much to do, I can't do that. Or like, oh, I'm doing this too much at the moment, I need to blah, 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 blah. It's like, it's all a projection of one, like, do you know what I mean?
100%.
As is life. But like, I think people celebrating their achievements is very personal. It's very ouchy. It's very yikes. It's very like, it cuts, I think, for a lot of people because
it's a sting.
It stings. Yeah, I think a lot of people have a hook on that.
Because it makes you look at yourself.
Exactly.
But that's why I think the bias against yourself is so important to look at.
Yeah. So true.
Because realistically, you see other people's wins as a direct cut to you, where you're like, ah, God, like, why didn't I bake a cake that was really delicious? Ah,
yeah.
Why didn't I get into uni? Why didn't I get that grade? Or why didn't I get a compliment then? Blah, blah, blah. But actually, that's why you have to look at the bias, because it's like, you actually did get shit.
And you didn't fucking care.
You did get good stuff, but you just didn't acknowledge it. You just didn't acknowledge, you didn't celebrate it. Because you didn't even see it. You just went, oh, no, but blah, 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 shit anyway.
Not good enough. On to the next goalpost.
And that's because you've got a bias. And all that person is doing when they actually celebrate themselves is saying, yeah, I fucking did all right there. That was good. Good moment.
So do you think you're doing better at celebrating the good things in your life? Do you
No.
You think you're getting worse?
Stayed the same. Bad. Better, worse, or stayed the same.
Stayed the same, yeah. ASMR moment.
Yeah, no, not good.
Not good.
It's so hard. It's so fucking hard to be like, oh, I actually really liked what I did there, or like I really liked that thing that I said, or I really thought I did it was a good friend there and shit like that. I think it's really hard. But that's just because I fucking hate myself, that I'm like, oh no, you everything you do is a fuck up. But it's such a joke.
Yeah, well, no surprises there. Nobody moved. Yeah.
Do you think you're getting better at that?
Yeah.
That's nice.
100%.
Yeah.
Well, if you come from the pits, it's like, Jesus, you can only go up. Like, there's only one way.
Sure.
But sometimes you're in the pits and then you realise, oh no, I can go to the depths of hell. But yeah. I think if you're in the pits, I think it's just something that I've consciously thought about for like a long time, because I think no one, even when people do celebrate you the way that you need to be celebrated, it's so wanky, this fucking lingo that I'm talking in, celebrate you. But I don't know how else to say it. Like,
no, I love
it. Even when everyone else is giving you what you need, or everyone else is giving you what you want, or, you know, people in your life are telling you what you need to be told, and someone on the internet told you what you wanted to hear, and all of these things, even when you have that, it doesn't really matter, because the only way it sinks in is when you give it to yourself. That's the only way it matters.
It is so fucking true.
It's so true.
It's so fucking true,
right? Everything I once desired from others, I give to myself now.
A mantra.
Is that what you're going to say?
No, but I've been thinking it, like, just in the way that you think what's going to feed you in life, or like you would potentially think that, I hate to be talking about the podcast because I feel like we get too meta sometimes on the podcast, but I'm going to mention something we get on the Instagram quite a lot. You would potentially think, or like, I remember showing my friend like our DMs, like I was on our DMs and like replying to people, and she looked, and it was pretty much a sea of people saying, I love you guys, I love you guys, I love you guys, I love you guys. And she was like, that must make you feel good. And I thought about it for a second, and I was like, honestly, it doesn't, which is so fucking weird, because it should. And when I read them, it makes me feel shocked, first of all, that these people feel like that. And it's like, wow, I'm in the message and you're saying you love us. Wow, it's amazing.
It's the fucking best thing in the world. Yeah, it's insane.
But the problem is, when you don't feel it yourself, it feels completely unbelievable, so it doesn't feed you. The only thing that can feed you, while something can be nice and flattering, if you don't fully believe that in yourself, it can only heat you for like a second. Like, it doesn't do anything to you. It just, you fade back to your normal level. The only times where I've ever been like, God, are we actually making quite a good podcast here? Or when I've thought within myself, I've been walking around, I've thought, fuck, we actually might have a good podcast here. Like, I think I'm happy with that. Those are the only times where I actually feel it.
Yeah.
It's never from an external thing, even though those things are nice. You have to give it to yourself.
You do have to give it to yourself. I think we are, it's funny that we're different. Like, do you know what I mean? You and I mean, not like the listener's going to be like, who's different?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? I completely agree with you. I completely get that. I find it deeply fulfilling. But I also think if someone says, you blah blah blah, it's like, I don't necessarily believe you. So okay, here it is for me, and I'm sure actually this probably isn't different for you, I don't know, but here's how I would describe it, is if someone says like, I love you guys, you are amazing, you're the best,
just off the top of my head, you're amazing,
I feel deeply fulfilled, I feel love from head to toe, and I think this is purpose, this is life purpose, this is what I would want for my life to be, is like making this one girl in Surrey feel good for half an hour.
See, that's, I agree. Yeah. I agree, that's it.
But what I don't then think, and I am amazing, and I love the podcast, I don't necessarily, I don't believe you, but I believe the way that you feel, and the way that you feel makes my head explode with love. Like,
agreed.
I can't even explain.
Yeah, see, it makes my head explode with shock.
Yeah, for sure.
It makes my head explode with no.
But I agree with you in the sense of, I think, I completely agree with you that, look, you're not going to believe a word anybody says. And I think as much as you can do all the learning and the unlearning and the growing and doing the work, I do feel like you're always going to have those moments where you don't believe the nice things that people are saying to you, because you just feel like shit, and that's part of being human. And I think let's not get lost in like trying to work our way around literally the human condition, and like try and find loopholes of like, I'm gonna do the work so I don't have to feel bad anymore. It's like, no, you're always gonna have moments where you think, I am a piece of shit, I don't have an amazing thing, I'm horrible, and this and this. But like, I was thinking this, like, my boyfriend will give me anything I could ever want, all the permission, all the love, all the support, all the whatever, and that really helps me live. But ultimately, I came to this earth on my own, and I can only give myself what I need, because he could say whatever and it'll go right over my head if I'm determined to have this bias against myself.
I think that's it.
That's
what I mean.
Yeah
No, that's it. It's completely fucking it.
And I don't think it's that you see the DMs and like can't feel a thing. I think it's that you have an idea in your head before you have a thing, and you think, oh my god, if I had like loads of people listening, like, oh my god, if I was that YouTuber, I would like never feel bad about myself because you're just constantly getting complimented, like blah, blah, blah. But you're not, because you get to that place and suddenly it's still not good enough. It's exactly, the goalpost just moves because the bias against yourself comes with you everywhere you go. You move to California, but it's just a state of mind. Does that everywhere you go, you bring yourself. Not a lie.
That's not a lie. Lana Del Rey lyric there.
So embarrassing.
But it's so true. I was actually thinking that this morning. Mm. I was walking around the park that I live near, and I remember thinking, I think I'm coming off quite depressed in this, which is quite odd because it's not how I feel.
As long as you're okay, I don't think you're coming off depressed.
I'm fine, honestly. I was walking around the park.
It's when you start saying I'm fine, just that's when it's hit the low, is like when you can feel yourself trying to convince everyone that you're fine, and like the more you say that you're fine, the more you sound like you're not fine, but you're not fine, and you say that I'm fine and I'm not fine.
Yeah, literally. Oh, it's
so bad. But yeah, you're fine. I'm fine.
I was walking around the park and I was thinking, I live in such a stunning area, and it really is. I moved to California
and it's wasted on you.
But it's just a state of mind. Yeah. It does it everywhere you go, you take yourself. That's not a lie. I was just thinking, it's really that.
I think it's habits. I think I grew up, I don't want to talk shit on anyone, but I think I grew up in a household as a child where the way to live was to live in misery and to deny yourself of any happiness. And that was just what life was about. Life was about misery.
Same. I also grew up with the misery house.
Yeah.
Definitely relatable.
But it's really, and look, I think it's no fault of, it's how, look, like, I don't want to, it's no one's fault, okay? Like, especially, look, I could go into it forever, I'm not going to get into it, but growing up in a miserable household, that makes it sound like a joke, but if you grow up learning that, like, misery is normal.
It's like the natural base state is miserable.
And to make an effort to be, to make an effort to be happy is like weird and annoying.
Yeah. And wrong. It's like the people that are happy are deluded.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
Yeah. I think mine was like people that are happy, it's like that's unrealistic.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just not an option for you. Happiness, yeah. Not an option. I don't know where this is going.
I don't really know what's happened in this. I feel really quickly descended into like weirdness.
Do you want to leave us on something wholesome?
Yeah. Let's leave our wholesome.
It's your turn.
I mean, were you done with that story? That didn't feel like a complete story.
The complete story is I grew up with it being really, really normal for misery and just like low mood to be the neutral state. And I think as I've gotten older, I've kind of learned that I don't want that to be my neutral. I want just like a general sense of contentment to be my neutral, and then when I'm feeling low, that will be a low mood, not just what is seen as normal. Sounds like I'm crying. I'm not. You'd know about it if I was crying. So it's like the one portion of an hour that I'm not crying in. So I don't know, I think it just takes, I think for me anyway, all I can speak is for myself. I've kind of decided, and I mean it in a very sincere way and not in like a hypothetical way. I'm not saying it in an abstract of like I'm choosing myself or like I have to love myself or all of these things. I've said that for ages, but I think now I mean it, and I mean it in a very tangible way. Like I have to bring some pride into the way that I'm choosing to live. Like, not like, oh yeah, I'm on a self-love journey, not that I've ever said that, but like, oh, I'm just, you know, this thing, oh, I'm just trying to like not be a dick to myself.
Yeah.
But carrying a lot of shame around that, like as if it's an embarrassing thing to be nice to yourself. And I think I've had some very bleak times, and like over the course of the break, I had a horrible time, and I think I just kind of, now I'm at a point where it's like, look, I have to very openly, publicly, wholeheartedly, with pride, commit to myself without being like, it's embarrassing to like myself. It's like, this is the only option I've got, so I'm going to have to do it full force. Otherwise, it's pointless. It's like, am I doing this or not? Am I committing to myself or not? It's like, am I going to be nice to myself about, oh, you never took your ASOS parcels back? Well, fuck it. Open them back up and put the clothes back on, baby. Who fucking cares?
They look great anyway.
Be nice to yourself. Yeah, they look good. Who cares? Whatever. Like, it's not even like no one's going to be nice to you. You have to be nice to yourself. It's like, you know what? I'm very lucky. People are really nice to me generally. And I also have to be nice to myself.
I agree.
Because that's what matters. Otherwise, it stops you from being It makes you a worse friend. It makes you a worse partner. It makes you a worse,
human
on earth.
Honestly, yeah. It really does. I think this is one of the things that... It's just fucking... It's so fucking crucial. We've been saying it pretty much since the day we fucking started this podcast, but it takes so long to actually get it through into your thick, thick skull. It's so impossible. I'm not talking about your thick, thick skull. I'm talking about my thick, thick skull. And I'm also talking about Wing's thick, thick skull. Just all of us. It's just like, God, why can you not even learn the most basic level, the most basic lesson that it's all kind of okay? Like, if you have a bad fucking moment, it's fine. But the amount of punishment we give ourselves for just like, example, not returning an ASOS parcel, or like the moment that you slightly embarrassed yourself or said something a bit weird or something, it's like the amount of punishment that has to come with that, that you've learned, is so insane.
So true.
To the point that when people give you a nice thing, they say a nice thing to you, your learned response is to give yourself a punishment on top of that.
Resounding so heavy.
That's all I have for you. That's all I have for you today.
Stunning. All right, well, let's get out of here then.
Do we have a wholesome thing? Was that wholesome enough?
It's definitely like an interesting take on wholesome.
It's
definitely new for wholesome, but I think it works.
Maybe I'll just try one more thing that I've got in me.
I've got something. It's not wholesome though, and I also don't want to step on yours, but I think this is an interesting thing. It just kind of carries on the pod, which I know everyone was just about to leave. Sorry. Everyone's putting their shoes on. Everyone started packing their bags.
Yeah.
Along with my thing of like whatever, blah, 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 along with just my thoughts recently, one of my thoughts really, it's been a bit of a perspective thing that I'm trying to hold on to. I feel like I came to the earth with a very warped sense of like my right to be here. Like, I feel like I kind of came in, I was like, oh God, like kind of head down, like don't make a scene, don't do anything. Like everyone else in my mind has a right to be here. Everyone else's existence is much more valid in the earth apart from me. For some reason, I don't get that same right to be here. And I think I've been thinking recently, like this earth and this experience is as much mine as it is anybody else's. And I'm going to have fun to explore that.
It's a shock. That is actually a shocking realization when you realize it.
You don't have more entitlement to the earth than I do. It's an equal playing field here. I mean, it's actually the opposite of an equal playing field.
It's really not.
But
but in terms of worth, it is.
Yeah, exactly. Totally.
In terms of opportunity and all of these things, it's not. But in terms of your worth and your
right,
your worthiness of being here,
your personal right,
you breathe the same air as everyone else,
your entitlement to this planet. I'll leave you with that. What's yours?
No, I just always used to think that with I always used to put it on Beyonce for some reason. I was like, I have the same right to be here as Beyonce,
as a perfect person,
someone that I see. I don't really have many feelings about Beyonce, but I guess I could see her as the epitome of
humanity.
Worthiness as a human, I guess.
She's the best we've got,
When I was about 15, I used to think that. Yeah, it's like, if you think that, I think I probably saw a thing, I know I saw a thing that was like, you have the same amount of hours in your day as Beyonce.
Yeah, I've seen the same thing, yeah.
Classic, classic fucking thing that would go around like Tumblr back in the day. But you actually not only have the same amount of hours in the day as Beyonce, which is some kind of pressuring thing to say to someone, I don't really know, but also you have the same right to life as Beyonce,
to the earth,
which is quite stunning,
quite layered. Beyonce as a black woman, and
obviously so
becomes complex,
there's a lot playing into that,
goes without saying. Just, you have a right to be here. Take your time, set your pace,
do what you want.
Don't be the obstacle
to your own happiness
preventing you from getting what you want. No. Exactly. Don't be the obstacle to your own happiness. That's stunning.
Don't be the obstacle to your own happiness. That's the motto for this one.
That's nice. And if you find yourself being the obstacle to your own happiness, that's okay.
Yeah,
we all have those times. Everybody has those days.
Oh, honestly, I think my personality is an obstacle course for my to my
so
happiness.
True.
Total wipeout over here.
So so true. Crafts, almost.
Crafts, honestly.
Not just an obstacle course, an obstacle course for well-groomed dogs.
That's cute.
Okay.
So if you don't hear from us,
assume the worst.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues. your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.